السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator and yours, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, protector of one and all. وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. May the complete blessings and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions and all those who have followed him up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us and our offspring from being from amongst them, inshallah. Honored ulama and beloved brothers and listeners, Islam is a religion that has given a lot of importance to gatherings. When we say gatherings, we mean the get together of the Muslims, the men especially. If we look at the Jumu'ah that we have today, for example, it is a duty, it is an obligation for the men folk to come to the masjid. Not for nothing, but there are many achievements through this. The same applies in the month of Ramadan, the men folk go to the masjid. The same applies on the day of Eid, all the men folk gather again at the Eidgah or for Salatul Eid. And these gatherings are extremely important. On the occasion of Nikah, for example, a gathering, it is Sunnah to have it in the masjid and to have a gathering of mu'mineen who will be witnessing. Today I want to dwell on the Jumu'ah, the essence of it, and what we say and utter when the Imam gets on the mimbar. We all hear the words, Alhamdulillahi, نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ and so on. What is meant by that? Why is it repeated every week? And why do we have to listen to it? The idea is for a message to be broadcast to the Muslim Ummah on Jumu'ah. That is the idea. For a reminder for one and all to do good and to abstain from bad, in a nutshell. So every week we need a minimum of one reminder. We are taught that on a daily basis we should be reading our kitab, or we should be engaging in or attending some dars, some lesson, attending some ta'aleem and so on a daily basis. But the bare minimum is that once a week you have to listen to the dose of spirituality that I need and you need and we all need. So we come to attend, and we should all know that there is a competition on a Friday, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention of the malaika coming to the doors of every single masjid. And they write, يَكْتُبُونَ الْأَوَّلَ فَالْأَوَّلَ. They write who came first, who came second, who came third. Every week there is a competition. I'm sure it is not impossible for us to win at least once in our lives. Once in our lives. It's not impossible that we come for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala early. There is another competition also, but before I get to the second one, let me complete the story of the first. The malaika continue to write who has come first, second, third, fourth, and so on, until the imam gets onto the mimbar, they close their books and they also come. طَوَوْ صُحُفَهُمْ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الذِّكْرِ. They come also to listen to the khutbah. So it's important that we walk in before the imam gets onto the mimbar. If we come late, yes, maybe our Jumu'ah will be fulfilled, but we will not have achieved the correctness of that Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from amongst the latecomers. Then the other competition is regarding salah and salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the durood sharif as we know it. Who reads the most on a Friday? That is also written. So it is important that we try our best to read maximum number of durood sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. We need to always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to salute him. And we know that the reason for this is because all the goodness that came to us is through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will get to that. For this reason also, on this mimbar, every Friday, there is a durood that is made. There is a reason for that, inshallah. If Allah grants us the time, I will speak on that as well. Now let me move to what is said, as I promised. We start off on the mimbar. After the adhan, the imam stands up and says, Generally, there are many terms, and there is no specific term. But let's look at the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, and we are following the footsteps of the ulama-i kiram who have taught us. Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are broadcasting this. We are announcing it to all those who are attending to say, do you know that every point of praise is first and foremost due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is the one who has granted us so much that it is impossible for us to thank Him. We need to declare total praise for whatever He has granted us. By saying Alhamdulillah, we are belittling the problems we have in our lives. And we are expanding on the goodness that Allah has given us in our lives. What that means is, when we say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every condition and upon everything He has granted us. We are actually promoting our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are acknowledging that, Ya Allah, the goodness that You have granted us, we take it as a huge favor. Here we are praising You, and any test You have put in our direction also, inshallah, we will convert it as a means of earning reward by engaging in sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that sabr. So we commence by Alhamdulillah. Then we say, نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ. Not only do we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is Him who we shall seek help from. Why do we have to immediately after Alhamdulillah, we want to say نَسْتَعِينُهُ? Because we are now confirming that now that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the goodness, if there is any form of difficulty, the one we are going to turn to is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نَسْتَعِينُهُ. On one side we praise Him, and on the other side we are saying, Ya Allah, part of praising You is that we only seek from You when we are in need, Ya Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease all our tensions, ease all our difficulties, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help every single person. We all know that I have problems of a different nature from yours, and you have problems of a different nature from one another, and so on. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us. At times, our mouths fail to utter the correct dua, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in our hearts. And automatically He knows it before we utter it. May Allah help us, even if we can't explain what we are in. So that is, as far as nasta'inuhu goes, that we are saying, Ya Allah, it is You whom we seek help from. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu. Then we know that if you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is important that we are on the right side. There is no point of a person heading in the northern direction and yet he wants to go south. Similarly, a person would be a fool when he makes enmity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he raises his hands and he says, Ya Allah, help me, help me. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that a person making dua, his food is haram, his clothing is haram, everything is haram, he has been nourished through haram, how does that person expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to his dua? But still, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us. Wallahi, almost everything we ask for and we are given, we don't deserve. Wallahi, we are drowning in sin to the degree that what we are asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He only gives us through His mercy, not because we deserve anything. We must know that. So, we need to try our best to get to the correct side, to put our books in order. How do you put your books in order? By saying, نَسْتَغْفِرُهُ. We seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, it is Him who we seek assistance from, and at the same time we know and we are acknowledging we cannot get His assistance unless we engage in tawbah. And for this reason it is important, even when going out to Salatul Istisqa, or when going out to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are all taught first engage in tawbah. First clear your record. When going for Hajj, what are we taught? First engage in tawbah. Before you leave, when you make the niyyah, say, Ya Allah, forgive my sins, Ya Allah. Because it is important that now when we are seeking the assistance of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, we need to make sure that we have confirmed that, look, we are criminals, but we seek Your mercy, Your forgiveness. We are really seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the idea of nastaghfiruhu. Then, if someone continues to seek forgiveness, Ya Allah, forgive me, but he has no iman, no yaqeen in his heart, what is the point? What is the point? If one of the non-Muslims comes to us, or we hear a non-Muslim saying, forgive me, Ya Allah, what is the point of that when there is no iman? For that reason we say, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِهِ. We confirm that we believe in Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. Don't we hear, نَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِهِ. We confirm. We are reiterating that, Ya Allah, why are we asking you? Why are we praising you? Why is it that we seek assistance from you? Why are we seeking forgiveness from you? Because we believe in you, Ya Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِهِ. Then, immediately after that, we are now confirming that, Ya Allah, whatever has happened, we know it's from you. And we know it is best for us. Though at times, due to our weakness, we tend to complain, unfortunately. Someone, and unfortunately a lot of us, when something happens to us or to someone that is not positive according to me, for example, sometimes we tend to look at it and we think, oh, this is a very big calamity. Not realizing that it's in our mind. If you want to look at that same calamity as a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and an opportunity to engage in sabr and to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not impossible to do that. Al-arifuna billah, those who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have got to a spiritual level and a spiritual height of a certain degree, they would definitely know that whatever Allah does is the best. They would not compete with the decision of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And for that reason we say, وَنَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ. We lay complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without batting an eyelid. Complete, total trust. And we know once we have iman, once we have made istighfar, once we have sought assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praised Him, who can let you down and who can let me down? No one. So if something then comes in my direction, it is an opportunity for me to gain closeness to Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, rather than complaining and becoming depressed at a situation that others can rise up to and look at as an opportunity to gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us that level. Now when the Imam repeats this, we should know what is being said. It's important. What beautiful words. That's only the opening statement. نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَنَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ. Subhanallah. Let me continue. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا. Ya Allah, we seek your protection from our own evil, the evil of our nafs. Every single one of us has a nafs. Nobody can be absolutely evil without a single spot of goodness in them. But it so happens that sometimes a person can be engrossed in so much evil that the goodness is not apparent, or it is drowned in the evil. But every single one of us, there is a good part to us and a bad part to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help eliminate the bad part by increasing the good. So here we are saying, Ya Allah, we seek your protection from the evil of our nafs. That's the first part of it. Min shururi anfusina. The bad of our nafs, Ya Allah, we want your protection. What does this mean? This means, Ya Allah, there is no one else who can help us eradicate the evil of our nafs but you, Ya Allah. That is all. Only you can help us eradicate the evil of our nafs. And there's no point in just uttering these words. We need to try and do something about it at the same time. We need to become conscious of ourselves. And this is where tasawwuf comes into line. Be conscious of our heart and the maladies of the heart, the qualities of the heart, those qualities that are hidden that no one can see besides you possibly, and those who are closest to you at times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to eradicate the evil habits. And may Allah protect us truly from the evil of our own nafs. The nafs is such that a person who can control that nafs is the one who shall succeed. May Allah help us to do that and to achieve that. And the second part of that particular statement, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. Oh Allah, we seek your protection from the evil of our deeds. One is the evil of our nafs, and the other is the evil of our deeds. There are two translations to this, two ways of interpreting this. شُرُورِ meaning سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. The bad deeds, evil deeds that we may commit, Ya Allah, protect us from them. That is the first meaning. Protect us from engaging in evil deeds. So, Ya Allah, create a barrier between me and evil deeds in a manner that you would know. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes a person plans evil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about a barrier. Something comes between this person and that action. And the person might be irritated, thinking that I had planned so perfectly this sin to commit, and yet there is a barrier that came in between, and they might even curse themselves or others, not realizing that it is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came in between. And it is the protection. It's important we make this dua. Ya Allah, create a barrier between us and sin. And the second meaning of sayyi'ati a'malina is more deep. It means, Ya Allah, protect us from the evil reaction of the actions that may be evil in our lives. What this means is, when someone has done something bad, obviously, if someone has petrol and they have a flame, it's going to cause a disaster. So, when there is petrol and a flame getting too close, we expect an explosion. Now, when a person has an evil deed that they have engaged in and there is no tawbah that has come, then obviously they need to wait and expect for a recompense, an evil recompense. Either in the dunya or the akhirah, may Allah forgive us. Either in the dunya or the akhirah, if someone has done bad, don't think that you can remain in that bad forever. When you have oppressed someone, don't think you will not see the result of that oppression. Unless obviously tawbah was engaged in and we clarified with the next party and so on. But by repeating this, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, if we have engaged in any bad deeds, Ya Allah, save us through your mercy. Protect us, Ya Allah, from the reaction of the bad we've done. Because a lot of us, our deeds are such. In fact, almost all of us, we have certain deeds that we are ashamed of. And certain deeds we might have done that really we could have done away with. We did not need to do them. Unnecessary. We are embarrassed about. Now, if we are going to continue in that, what do we expect? There will be an evil reaction. We are saying, Ya Allah, protect us from that. Ya Allah, we know that we have done deeds that are unacceptable. Forgive us and save us from the punishment in the dunya and in the akhirah of those deeds. That is a simple statement. وَمِن سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا This is what it includes. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِن شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِن سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا Then we say, مَن يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ Whomsoever Allah has guided, there shall be nobody able and capable to misguide that person. If Allah has guided someone on the straight path, the world can turn blue. The person will not budge 1 centimeter to the right or the left. They will remain on the straight path. So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Salullah al-hidayah. Ask Allah for guidance because guidance is in His hands. May Allah guide us all and keep us steadfast. And the second part, وَمَن يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ This is a more dangerous statement. Whomsoever Allah has misguided, na'udhu billah, may Allah protect us. Whomsoever Allah has written misguidance for, nobody, nothing, no force, no angel, no nothing shall be able to guide that person. So if a person is misguided, they are bent in their mischief, and if Allah has written misguidance, our duty is only to try. May Allah not make us those ones who are misguided. But with that trial, we must remember that ultimately, it is solely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who shall grant guidance. And if He has written misguidance, there is nothing, absolutely nothing we can do about it. We will have the reward of making dua, and we will have the reward of the trial. And that's it. It stops there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Thereafter, we go into, وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ And I'm sure we all know the meaning of that. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And so on. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read the shahada, and thereafter, normally the imam would say, amma ba'd, which actually means thereafter, in a nutshell. And he goes into the topic, normally commencing by saying, ittaqullah, be conscious of Allah. Because the whole idea of this Jumu'ah is to increase our consciousness of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Then there is a topic at times that is discussed, and towards the end of the first khutbah, normally the imam reads a verse towards the end, or even without reading the verse, he would say, may Allah grant us barakah in what we've heard from the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am seeking the forgiveness for myself and yourself. Seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for definitely He is most forgiving. One hadith says, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamal la dhamba lah. The one who has sought forgiveness from a sin is equivalent to the one who has never committed a sin from the beginning. May Allah grant us that forgiveness. That is as far as the first khutbah goes, as I mentioned in a nutshell, in brief. The second khutbah commences in a similar manner. But there is something different that happens in the second khutbah. We normally hear the statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ
يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل وعلى آل نبينا محمد وبارك وسلم. We hear that statement. I'm sure we know what it means. Why do we have to salute Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? Because we are seated here in the masjid through his effort. That is the reason. We are Muslimin and Mu'mineen through his effort. Allah chose him to send and pass the message to us. And for that reason, we after that immediately say, وَرْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ خُلَفَائِهِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. May Allah also be pleased with the Sahaba, رضي الله عنهم, the Khulafa'i Rashideen, the Tabi'een, the four Imams, the Ulama of this Ummah, the Asatidah who taught us. Why? Because there is something known as a Silsila. Silsila meaning a chain. A chain of what? A chain between me and you and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Between us and him. Anyone who appears in that chain of goodness has the full reward of what I am engaged in and you. When we are coming for Jumu'ah, do you know the Ustad who taught you how to read Salah has the full reward of the Jumu'ah. When you are reading Quran, every khatam we make, not only my Ustad, my Ustad's Ustad and his Ustad and the one who taught him and who taught him and him, until it gets to Ali ibn Abi Talib and Zayd ibn Thabit and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all have a complete reward. So every action of deen that we engage in, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a complete reward. And so do all of our Ustads in the chain up to when it gets to him. Complete reward. So if I engage in two rakats of salah, it's actually, in real terms, it is billions of rakats of salah. I've lost count, I don't even know. But I get the reward of two, my ustad gets another two and two and two and two and two up the ladder, right up to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine if 1 billion Muslims have to read 5 salah a day, that is 5 billion salahs. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting the reward of 5 billion salah now today. May Allah make us steadfast on salah. And for that reason, the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come about for those who were following him, because obviously he achieved the highest rank because of the ummah. Inni mubahim bikum al-umama yawm al-qiyamah. He asked us to have maximum number of children. Why? He says, obviously the goodness will increase and I want to be that Nabi who has the largest number of followers on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the women folk. It is important that we know this. And we salute Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we end after making a dua. I don't have time, but I would have gone into at least one sunnah dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show you that if we want to make a dua, and I want to mention this just so that everyone listens to it. I make a dua, Ya Allah, help me. Those are my words. Those are my words. And then I say, Rabbana atina fid dunya. Now suddenly I'm using more blessed words. Let me know what it means and let me use those words. Why? You know when you have a combination lock and someone tells you, look, there are 5 combinations that will open this lock. Now you say, okay, and you start trying. You try the first number, second number, third number. You are foolish not to have asked the person, what is the combination? What, give me one of the 5 or all the 5 that have opened this lock in the past. The Nabis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made du'as that were answered. Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. For so many of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, those du'as are in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I want to make a du'a for goodness, let me open the kitabs, see what du'as were made in the past that were already answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use the same words. It's that combination. You are being told it already in those words. I am foolish. It's not haram to use my words. But I am foolish to you to keep on trying my own little words when I know that there is a blessed zaban, there is a blessed tongue I can use, and there are blessed words that have already opened the doors of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will definitely come faster to us when we are using the same words that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam have used in the past. So for this reason, it is sunnah to use the sunnah du'as. And wallahi, if you go through the books that have compiled the du'as of the Anbiya and the sunnah du'as, you will be amazed as though Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in our midst and he suffered the same things. He's asked for protection from inflation, protection from zina, protection from things that obviously were quite distant at that time. And one wonders how. He asked for protection from plagues. He asked for protection from evil and bad rulers. Who were rulers? He was the ruler at the time. What did he have to ask that dua for? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because by him uttering that dua, it automatically became a sunnah to make that dua. Subhanallah. So it is so blessed. We repeat one or two du'as here, and then we close by saying, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. And I'm sure we all know that. Last point before I close. Allah commands, the meaning of the last verse that we read, Allah commands Adl, justice, wal ihsan, and goodness. I only want to speak on these two for 1 minute. Why Adl first? Justice and then goodness. Why is justice mentioned before goodness? Because it is no goodness to forego justice thinking that I am foregoing it due to goodness. That is the reason. So some people, they say, no, never mind, you know, never mind, never mind, carry on. And they forego justice, saying, no, you must have a good heart, and so on. You're having a good heart, but you're foregoing justice. That is not justice. That is not even goodness. Goodness is connected to justice. So first you must be just, and automatically that will be goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all just people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us adl and insaf. He has said that ulama are ulama because of justice. Because they are just, they stand up for righteousness, for what is right. They go out and inform people what is right and wrong. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They are not meant to be fearing backlash because of haq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen the ulama of this ummah, and may Allah protect them from the evil plotters. So it is important we know that Allah says, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. The malaika also, they stand up firm for justice. Whatever is right, they will engage in, obviously. And the ulama of this ummah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, and may Allah grant us a lesson from the Jummah khutbas that are read every single week. This is why it's important we come on time, we sit, we listen, we try and understand, and we achieve, so that when we walk out of the masjid, we are better Muslims, and we have looked at each other. This brotherhood that we attain just by looking at the faces is, believe me, we cannot describe it. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.